have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's Gospel News. Yolanda Adams was a school teacher in Houston, Texas during the mid-80s and occasionally did some modeling work. Yolanda Adams grew up listening to jazz and classical music as well as gospel from artists such as James Cleveland and the Edwin Hawkins Singers and R&B vocalists like Stevie Wonder and Nancy Wilson. Yolanda Adams' debut, Just As I Am, appeared in 1988 on Sounds of Gospel. The growth of publicly popular gospel in the mid-90s pushed her into the spotlight. Yolanda Adams toured with Kirk Franklin and the Family, and her 1996 album, Yolanda Live in Washington, was nominated for a Grammy. Songs from the Heart followed in 1998, and a year later, she returned with Mountain High, Valley Low, which topped her live album by winning a Grammy. Then her album, Experience, followed a year later. A singer blessed with a soulful, highly resonant voice, Corinne Hawthorne is best known as a contestant on season 8 of NBC's The Voice. A native of Abbeville, Louisiana, Hawthorne is the daughter of a minister and was first introduced to music while singing in church. During her high school years, Hawthorne sang locally at festivals, nursing homes, and charity events. Then, in 2015, though she was only 16 years old, she was accepted onto the NBC reality vocal competition, The Voice. She released a debut EP the following year. In 2018, she returned with a full-length debut album, Unstoppable, which topped Billboard's top gospel albums and earned Hawthorne a Grammy Award nomination for her song, Won't He Do It? Singer Evie McKinney first found a national audience as a contestant on the TV singing competition, The Four, Battle for Stardom. She won the inaugural season in 2018. Born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, she started singing as a preschooler and learned gospel music from her father. Evie McKinney was already performing professionally across several genres when she was 20 years old, and she joined the Fox series The Four, entering as a challenger on the fifth of six episodes in the first season. McKinney won a record contract with the label when she was crowned champion in February of 2018. March is Women's History Month. This week, let's remember Marjorie Joyner. She was the inventor of the permanent wave machine. A revolution in the beauty industry occurred during the early 1920s when a group of female African-American inventors developed products and processes with black women's particular needs in mind. The aim was to help them feel good about their looks and begin to improve their status in the United States and around the world. Marjorie Stuart Joyner was one such woman. A granddaughter of a slave and a white slave owner, she was born on October 24, 1896 in Monterey, Virginia. She moved to Chicago in 1912, and shortly thereafter, she began studying cosmetology. In 1916, she became the first African-American graduate of Chicago's A.B. Moeller Beauty School. That year, at the age of 20, she opened her salon. A few years later, she came up with a groundbreaking device, the permanent wave machine. She envisioned a system that would use several rods hung above a client's head to roll several sections of her hair at once. Then they could be heated up to cook a permanent wave or curl into the hair. She patented the invention in 1928. Joyner also patented a scalp protector to make the procedure more comfortable. Her rights to this and to the permanent waving machine were signed over to Madam C.J. Walker. Joyner's invention was readily adopted by many salons, which were able to help both black and white clients to straighten or curl their hair. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, E. Dewey Smith, Your Presence is a Gift. 9, Juan Winans and Deborah Winans, Never on My Own. 8, Rudy Currens and Chrisette Michelle, No Greater Love. 7, Kenny Lewis and One Voice featuring Charles Jenkins, He's Been Good. 6, Tasha Cobbs Leonard, Gotta Believe. 5, CeCe Winans, Believe For It. 4, The Group Fire, Fix It. 3, Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music with Gyra. 2, Ernest Pugh, Thank You So Much. And our new number one song comes from Dante Bowe, Joyful. Well, that's your top 10 songs, your salute to women in history during Women's History Month, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your Gospel News reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And you can always hear the wonderful Nina Taylor right here on The Pastor's Corner every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on Elation Radio. We say good evening, we say good evening, we say good evening, and welcome tonight to The Pastor's Corner. I am not Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., the host. I am the co-host, Apostle Urban Whitlow, and we are excited to be with you on tonight, and we are excited about what God is doing. Amen. Bishop-elect and his wife are on vacation, and they should be back with us hopefully in a few more days. In the meantime, we're praying for them. But we are excited about what God is going to do tonight. We've got a great discussion for you, and we've got a great host, if you will, for our discussion, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. But let me see who else is here tonight to join in with us. I know that the producer is here because she's the one who makes this possible. I'm talking about the one, the only, the lovely Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Dr. Kimmy, tell everybody hello.
Hello, everyone, and I am looking forward to this discussion. Amen.
Amen. So glad for you. Amen. Let me see the presiding prelate of volume of the book, Deliverance Ministries International Incorporated. I'm talking about the Dr. Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Are you here tonight, sir? Okay, I don't hear his voice. I'm not sure if he's unmuted or not, but we'll check him again in a little bit. Let me see. Let me see if this woman of God is here. I'm talking about Apostle Felicia Flythe. Are you with us?
Yeah, I know what. So
what?
I've been told and said that the people, that when they die, they have a birthday. But I was told today, the devil is a lie and his grandma is too. And I heard he owed child support. Run me that money.
He does. He does. We need to talk about that, these so-called heavenly birthdays in a land where you never grow old, but we'll leave that alone. Okay, let me see. Let me check and see if that great woman of God from they call the Quiet Storm is here. I'm talking about Pastor Anna Henderson. Are you here, woman of God?
Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad to be on tonight.
Amen. Amen. I was hoping that your sister, Pastor Paula, Minister Paula Henderson would be here, but she said she would not be able to make it tonight. Amen. I just want to do another check. Is there anyone else who has joined us who we may not know? We want to give you an opportunity to identify yourself because we do not want to overlook you. Going once? Going twice? Well, we've gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. So listen. There was a subject that was started on last week talking about stay focused, and I believe we're going to try to continue that. But tonight we're going to allow Pastor Henderson to take us in the direction that we're going to go. So this is what I would like. I would like if Apostle Flythe would find the scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. I will find Proverbs 4 and 25. And I'm going to ask Dr. Kimmy if she would lead us in a word of prayer. And then when we read the scriptures, we're going to turn it over to Pastor Henderson. Amen. So if you would, Dr. Kimmy, lead us in prayer.
Father God, thank you once again for another good day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Father God. Thank you for this wonderful fellowshipping time on the Pastor's Corner. Thank you so much for this wonderful meat that we've also partake. This meal is so important. You said that we must you know, live off your living bread, and the living bread is the Bible. So, Father God, as we continue on this wonderful discussion, decrease us and put more of your will and your wisdom in our bosom, and we thank you so much for Apostle Smith and Apostle Evan Whitlow and Bishop Eva for this wonderful podcast. I have learned so much from them and continue on increasing their territory, and we will forever give you honor and glory, and we make this wonderful prayer in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So that was Colossians 3:1-3, and it says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2 says, set your mind and keep focus habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. 3, in closing, for you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. I have read to you for your hearing, Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1-3, the word of God is blessed.
And finally, Proverbs 4:24 says these words, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Again, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. That is Proverbs 4:25, the word of God for the people of God. And we've been talking about stay focused. We are in the hands of Pastor Henderson to take us in the discussion.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. We thank and praise God, amen, for this opportunity, amen, to be before you tonight on the Pastor's Corner, sitting in for Bishop-elect Richard on tonight. We truly thank God for this opportunity. We just give him praise, glory, and honor, for truly God is good. Amen. And his mercy endures forever. Amen. Such a wonderful topic tonight. Stay focused. Amen. As I was thinking about the topic, I was just thinking about the times in which we live in, that so much is going on around us, and it seems to be chaotic at times. And I actually had someone to ask the question, is it possible? And I'm going to present this as my first question tonight. Is it possible to stay focused in a time when you turn on the news, you're hearing about the wars and the rumors of wars, you're seeing the earthquakes, you're seeing the disasters, you see violence in our streets, you see the suicides. I mean, it's so much happening to wrap your mind around. And I had someone to ask me, can a person stay focused in a world that is full of distractions? And I'm going to start that question out tonight, and I just want each one to just answer that in their own ways. And we're going to start with our producer tonight. Amen. Hello, sis. Amen. Our very own Dr. Timmy.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. I'm blessed. How about you, my sister?
Blessed. I know we haven't talked in a while, but we thank God for this time now. Amen. We talk through text all the time, but not in person here recently.
Amen.
We thank God for you. Amen. And you've been in my prayers. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for each one of the panelists tonight, Apostle Fight tonight, and Apostle Whitlow being with us on tonight. We thank God for each one of you tonight for taking time out to be here. And I'm going to start with you, Dr. Timmy Robinson. Is it possible for one to stay focused in such a fallen and chaotic world at this time? Is it possible?
Yes, it is, because it says in the Bible that in the midst of perilous times, if we keep our eyes focused on him, we'll be okay, because really we're just seeing the Bible being prophesied. It's going to be a lot more worse. It says that you'll see perilous times, such as people not respecting each other, you know, the rumors of wars. You have so many chaos, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So you see so much going on. But one thing I have come to realize that when we are believers in the Lord, we're not supposed to be focusing on that, but focusing on Him, because we are in the world but not of the world. And we know these things are going to happen before Jesus comes back. So, yes, you can still stay focused on this, because you know when you put your trust in Him, you know that He would never leave you nor forsake you. You know that He is with you, because I am still reminded that Jesus did the worst. He went through so much more worse than we could ever imagine. He was the Son of God without blindness, and He went through death. And if He could go through that, I'm sure we could stay focused on what's going on, because really we're seeing God, you know, proclaiming who He is in the Word. And I really believe that once you have a relationship with the Lord, you can stay focused on Him, because you know that with Him you have your security, you have your love, your joy, your peace. And the world cannot give that to you, because the world is very fearful. And also we do have Apostle Smith on, and I will drop the mic.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for Apostle Smith joining us tonight. Amen. Are you there, Apostle Smith?
I am here.
Amen. Apostle Smith being with us on tonight. Amen. I'm going to ask the question to Apostle Slide on tonight. If someone approached you with a conversation of wanting to give up or feeling like overwhelmed by the situations that they may be going through, and making comments that was alluding to maybe they wanted to commit suicide, or maybe they wanted to do something to harm themselves, and they maybe in their conversation they were referring to that they were having a hard time digesting all the, everything that's going on. What would you say to them on how you can get them to refocus and rethink their situation? What would be a conversation piece that you would have with an individual that felt like giving up?
I think if we look at something tonight, that's a good question, because you got to remember, in the last few years, we have had pastoral murder. I'm talking about suicide. We have had pastoral murders. We have had several crazy things that have happened in the last few years. Then we think about, I had the chance to talk to them. Would my have talked made the difference, and would I have said something that would have made the difference? And I think if someone had have had the opportunity with the right anointed word, it would have made a difference. I mean, you look, he was, and the reason I say that, because he was reaching out with everything he had. Dr. Zachary Timms, you're a great young preacher. Amen. He wasn't even 40 years old yet, or just 40 or so, but he wasn't really all that old. But he was really looking for someone to change his life, because he was with Brother Benny Hinn. He was with Paul White, he was with this one, that one, and the other one before the great loss of his life. And he did not find the answer, or either did not take a hope to what was said. And before we knew it, his life was gone. I really think sometimes the right word, the right person, can say the right thing and bring you back in focus.
Amen. Amen. Apostle Flight, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Amen. This question is going to direct towards you.
Do you feel that the church has dropped the ball as far as reaching out to individuals that are frustrated, that are confused, that do not understand, you know, how to stay focused or how to deal with the things that they're encountering now in such a time that we're living in? Or should I say it this way, how do you think the church can improve in reaching out to those that are hurting during this time?
Well, I'll answer those questions. The church has failed, yes, tremendously. Because we want to be so stuck inside the four walls when our ministry is outside the four walls. So we have to reach one to teach one. We have to go to the byways and the highways, as my grandmother used to say. We can't just sit in the pulpit, sit in the pews, and think that the people are going to come in. Sometimes they do, but you have to go out because, and I hope I'm answering your question. People are looking for leaders, and when leaders mess up, that does something to them. When they see leaders drinking and smoking and cussing and clubbing and carrying on, they've got in common with their members, that leaves a stench in that outsider's nose, nostrils. So the church has failed that individual because, you know, we have a tendency of keeping leaders under a tight microscope, which we are supposed to. We're supposed to live by. God holds us to a standard. People hold us to a standard. So when that standard is not met, you have failed. You have sinned. That's why we ask for forgiveness on a daily basis. But that's part four of that. But how we get back to that, we go out. We even in the grocery store, if we see somebody struggling, we help. If you have it to pay for, you do that. Let the people know that they're loved. Let the people know that they have someone to talk to. Let the people know that you're praying for them. No, you may not have the finances to get them out of what they're in, but you can direct them to the source, some other sources, resources. You know, we have to get out of this thing that, I don't know nothing, I don't know. You know, so we, come on, everybody knows somebody that knows something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We got to get back to that. We got to get back to the old days. We got to get back to the times when people weren't afraid to talk to people on the streets. Got to get back to it.
Yeah.
Got to get back to it. If not, we're going to lose the generation that you know, my grandchildren are coming up with. Because, you know, that what they see is, you know, let me say this and then I'll be done. What they see is pastors wearing, you know, we've had this conversation before, pastors wearing jeans and tennis shoes in a pulpit where at one point, you know, most people thought that, you know, that was a sin for you to dress like that in the pulpit. So when you become common and we live in the world, but we're not of the world, it's a standard. It's a standard. So we've got to show them that, you know, you may only have skirts that come above your knee, but the more we teach you, the more you we don't beat you over the head, but the more we pour into you because you're empty. You're like a bucket with holes in it. Once we begin to close up one hole at a time, then, you know, you can see that church is not what you saw before or the church down the street. We've got to do better. We've got to do better. Yeah. You know, titles does not exempt anybody from going to hell.
That's right.
It does not. Your title means nothing if you're not doing the work. And
that's
I'm finished.
True. Amen, amen, amen. We are living in the time because evangelism is the heart of God. And if we're not doing and winning souls, if we are not being that heart in the earth realm and reaching out to souls, then we're really not fulfilling the Great Commission that God left for us to do. And we have a generation that know not God in a lot of ways. And he's saying about the old ways of the old ways of holiness and the church and the whole standard. You know, there's so much mixture that we see now that wasn't in the church in time of old. And I think a lot of people have gotten confused by some of the things that they're seeing. And it's caused there to be there this gap. And it's time to bridge that gap back together. We need that standard to return to the church so that we can win the generation that is here now, the younger generation. And that's really the heart of God, is that we win souls. And so that's where my heart is as well. We're talking about staying focused and how do we grab their attention? Because when we think about our youth and where their focus is and the things that's happening around us, so oftentimes, you know, you walk past and they have the headphones on. They got so many different distractions now. You have our young people in schools, in the schoolroom. I mean, it's hard for the teachers to even teach now because they have their phone out. And for some teachers, it's difficult because they don't really know how to address the younger generation. And so you can pass a classroom and you see all of them sitting there with their phones out. They're trying to figure out, what is the teacher teaching? So are they really staying focused on the material? Because if they have their phones out, she's just talking, but their attention is somewhere else. And we see that even in the church, that same lack of focus. So I want to ask the question, for Whitmer, how does one become distracted? How does one get to that place where they are so distracted that they are no longer able to move forward? How does one get to that place?
I think that a person is distracted when they allow the enemy to captivate their attention. The Bible tells us to be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Saying that to say that we are supposed to be on alert. We're supposed to be on guard. We're supposed to be watchful while we do what we do. So which means that either people are so caught up that they're not paying attention, or they are so uninterested that it doesn't matter. Either way, I have discovered that if the enemy can bring distraction, he will end your devotion. And so he specializes in, if you will, decoys. He specializes in getting us to focus on things that don't matter so that we don't pay attention to that which does matter. Here, let me give you an example. We're supposed to be doing spiritual warfare. And so we're supposed to pull down strongholds and cast down high imaginations, those things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we should focus on. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, so that should be what we're focused on. But for some reason, we get caught up with people who don't like us. We get caught up with people who are jealous of us. We get people who have a problem with us prospering. We have a problem with people who say something negative, if you will, about us. And so that takes our focus. That takes our attention. And so because of that, it's hard to focus again on what we were called to do, what we're supposed to do, or what we should be doing. And so that becomes the issue. So now there's focusing with – so now the attention is on things that really don't matter. So what happens is I've discovered that if people are not focused on prayer, if they're not focused on the things of God, then they cannot contend for their faith. They cannot contend for the things that God wants us to contend for. So again, it becomes very important not to allow ourselves to be distracted by what the enemy presents. repent. Watch this. Wait, one more thing. The Bible says that let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it is finished, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So, again, there are things that are often within us that we should not allow to be in us that pulls away our focus. It pulls away our attention. So, again, being concerned about what other people have, what other people are doing, what other people got going on, being more concerned that than the things that God has called us to be concerned about and focused on. Those are the things that pull us away from where God wants us to be, and then we wonder why certain things are not manifesting or coming together. Why? Because our attention has been altered. And so now we're sitting here like, man, it's hard to get back where I was with God. It's hard to focus on God. All this stuff going on. Man, I got this going on. I got that going on. I got this and I got that. And so what the enemy says, it worked. It worked. I got them distracted so they cannot focus on what they're supposed to focus on. That's what he specializes in. And so we have to become more determined to focus on the things that God has called us to.
Amen. Amen. Yes, when you're saying that, I thought about the scripture that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we have to retrain our thoughts. We have to reform our thought life, and so that our thought life begins to line up with the Word of God. Let me ask this question, Apostle Smith, how important is the thought life as it relates to staying focused? How important is the thought life as it refers to staying focused?
Our thought life is very important, because that's how, if we remember, that's how we got started into this in the first one. He was thinking about us. He said that he had a thought about us, thought of peace and not of evil. He started us on a thought or with a thought. And so we are so glad that he is thinking about us so until it altered our life. It changed us and gave us another direction that we're headed in now. So the thought life is very important, and I'm so glad that he was thinking about me so until Psalm 139, that is about me, is like the saying. And so we know his thoughts are vast. His thoughts are deep. His thoughts go a long way when it concerns our lives. Thank you so much.
Amen. So I hear that having a disciplined thought life helps you to stay focused. Would each of you agree with that? Having a disciplined thought life helps you to stay focused. I'm thinking about the scripture that says taking thoughts captive, you know, casting down imaginations and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. You know, when you allow your mind to go all over the place and it's hard to bring your mind back, I want to go back to that student in the classroom when the teacher is teaching and he's doing football, he's doing, you know, putting his foot out to trip someone when they walk by. When they're doing all these different distractions, it's like their mind is all over the place. They really don't want to be there. Maybe there's something else going on with them, and so it's like a diversion that's going on. And so their focus and their attention span, none of that is where it needs to be. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, about something someone had told me, and they were just like talking about how, you know, they sit and they think about this, and they say, well, I have to think about this because I have to do this. I have to pay bills. I have to do that. I have to go here and take care of this person. I have to do that. And so they had this long list of all these things that they had to do, but they were getting weary and tired, you know, just talking about it. And the more they talked about it, because, you know, your thoughts affect your feelings affect, you know, your actions, and all of this sends you into a spiral of getting out of control if you don't watch your thought life, if you're not disciplined in your thought life.
And so there comes a time when you just, the Bible says he would keep him in perfect peace of mind and stay on him. Even though you have all these problems and situations going on, you have to be able to get from your thought line that you're not becoming overwhelmed with the things that's happening around you. And then on top of that, you listen to the news, and then you hear something else about your friend, that these negative, all these negative thoughts start to pile up, and so you become disoriented in your thinking and your thoughts. And so I think for our young people, they're trying to digest so much that's happening, and they're just not prepared for a lot of the things that they're hearing and seeing, and they don't have the support system to help them to navigate through the times in which we're living in. And so being disciplined in our thought life is so very important, and we have to be able to cast down those negative thoughts when you stay there too long, to be able to know how to take those thoughts captive. Okay, can someone talk to me about that? Let's see, Pastor Whitlow, can you talk a little bit about pulling down imaginations and being able to take thoughts captive? Why is that important to staying focused?
I think because the Bible makes it clear that that the enemy is constantly after our mind. Again, when we put on the whole armor of God, one piece of the armor is called the helmet of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is also another piece called the shield of faith, whereby we can quench the fiery darts of the devil. And so it is the devil's objective to attack the thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Why would the devil seek to attack the thought process? One, because he knows that what you think is what you will say, and what you will say is what you will do, and what you will do will become your habit, and your habit will determine your character, which will in fact lead to your destiny. So if he can get you off focus through having the wrong imagination, then he can alter your destiny. That's why he wants an individual to think to themselves that this won't work, that this is not going to happen, or worse, that they're going to collide with disaster. In Job, the third chapter, somewhere about the 25th verse, he says, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." Now, the Bible says, see, this is a man who was perfect, upright. He feared God, and he eschewed evil. He shunned evil. But yet, the Bible says that he said to himself, "The thing that I greatly feared is come upon me," which tells me that he allowed that little piece to distract him from having the confidence that God could keep him no matter what would take place. And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. That's a lot of times where the imagination is being challenged, because remember, we keep saying this acronym that fear is false evidence appearing real. And so what is the imagination? The imagination is often that which is not real. It is often fictitious. It is often like a fantasy. And so it's not legitimate until there is credence given to it. So that's why the enemy, he's trying. But again, our job is to pull down every high imagination, pull down that stronghold and cast down every high imagination of things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And those are the things that I believe Apostle Paul was talking about, Peter was talking about when he says casting your care upon the Lord, because it's those cares that we begin to imagine. It's that we begin to imagine, oh, this ain't going to get no better, or this ain't going to ever be right. This relationship won't work. This marriage won't work. My money won't ever be right. I'll never get the house that I've been praying for. Little things like that, that the imagination is trying to now convince you until you believe it. That's why we have to denounce those things. We have to pull down those things. We have to rebuke those things in order for us to have a fighting chance at keeping our mind stayed on the Lord and keeping the focus that he wants us to have. Amen?
Amen. And we do that by, like you said, replacing that negative thought with the word of God. You know, when those negative thoughts come and they're saying, oh, you're never going to be able to do this, or the bills are never going to stop coming, you know, my child is never going to come off of drugs, I'm never going to have this and that, and never going to be able to do this and that. Well, you have to be able to replace those thoughts, cast them down, and you pull them down by replacing them and begin to put the word of God within there, whatever the world has said. And that's why in Joshua 1:8 tells us to meditate day and night in the word of God. We need that word. You cannot survive without the word of God. And when you know what the word says, then you can replace those thoughts with the word of God. When those negative thoughts come, we got to be able to quickly get rid of them and say, I don't receive that. And go back to the word of God and stand on the word of God. Because people are saying, what do I do? How can I do this? How can I do this? How do I replace my thoughts? How do I deal with it? Because some people say, well, you can't just do that because you're not dealing with reality. No, you're dealing with the reality of the situation, but you're not allowing what you see and what you feel to dominate you, because the word of God is supposed to be dominating us. Is that right? And so we have to replace those thoughts. Okay, Apostle Flight, what would you say to somebody who has a child on drugs, that, you know, they don't have a job, they're trying to make ends meet, they've had bad relationships, and they just have a lot going on in their past. And, you know, I'm reminded in Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. What would you tell somebody on how they can forget their past, whether it be something that happened that past that day, or maybe past in their past, in their future relationships or situations? How can they forget their past and still stay focused?
Faith without works is dead. If you believe God for anything else, you should believe that whatever happened to you in your past is gone, is washed away. And the reason why I can speak on that is because I was once there. When I just thought that, you know, my world was just tumbling down around me, that I was just left alone. But I had to realize that it was during that time that God had me alone, that he wanted to spend some time with me. I had time for everything and everybody else, but I wasn't giving him my time. So if there is someone out there that's suffering through depression or oppression, or you're feeling sad and all that other kind of stuff, there are people here that will love you. Yeah. There are people here that will show you a better way. There are people here that will lead and guide you. You know, if God up, he'll draw all men unto him. You know, all we've got to do is direct them to that path. He'll do the rest.
That's right.
He will do the rest. So, you know, if we have to reach one, teach one, you know.
That's right.
You're never alone. The situation may seem gloomy. You know, sometimes the devil wants you to be so isolated from other people that he can play in your mind, because he's a trickster.
Yes.
The devil is a trickster. He'll have you thinking that God doesn't hear you. He'll have you thinking that God doesn't love you. That's what he does. He's a manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't serve notice that God is God. He reigns supreme.
Yeah.
I just work like that. The God that we serve, he sits up high and looks down. So he'll snatch you out of any situation. And what seems like it takes years for us to get through and get over, it takes a half a second for God. All he has to do is snap his fingers.
Come on now. He know how to do it. Yeah.
You know, so God's timing is always the right timing. Always. Doesn't matter what you're faced with, what you're going through. God's timing is always the right. You may say, you know, how many frogs do I have to kiss to get the right one? Baby, look here. When God send you the right frog to kiss, good God
mm-hmm.
Almighty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And like you said, because what took years, you know, for one person to get over going through a rehab or going through this or going through that, God can do it all in like, boom, 1 minute or less.
Do it all. Just like that.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, it seems so easy to throw the towel in on any situation. It
yes.
seems so easy to throw the towel in. But what happens when he throws the towel back at you?
Yes.
You throwing the
yes,
towel
yes.
in saying, I'm giving up. But what happens when God throws the towel back at you?
Mm-hmm.
God, one thing that I know about God is he didn't create none of us to be weak.
That's it. Come on, man.
We ain't weak.
Mm.
That's another
right.
trick of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong?
That's right. Yes.
You may fall down, but as long as you get back up. There was a young
yes.
lady back home, Dr. Rosalyn Thompson. She used to say, as long as there is breath in your body, you got another
uh-huh.
chance.
That's right.
As long as you're breathing, you have another chance.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So take that chance. You're breathing.
That's it. Yes.
But make sure that you choose to make the right choice.
Make the right choice. That's right.
Amen.
That's it. That's making God choices. That's it. God gives you the opportunity. What you gonna do with it? Yes. Like you said, as long as you have breath, you have another chance. And God is a God that sees all. He knows all. He understands all. There's nothing too hard for God to do. There's nothing out of his reach. And I think, like you said, it's the enemy's job to make you feel like you isolate, you're all alone, nobody cares, there's nobody there. But God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's always there. He's just waiting to hear your cry. And he said, call upon me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things. But he's waiting to hear the cry of his people. And to have faith in him, to know that he's able to do exceedingly above all we could ever ask for him. And so we praise God that he is an almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The next question I want to put out there is, what are some ways that one can intentionally control what they focus on? Intentionally control what they focus on. I'm addressing one to Apostle Smith. What are some ways that one can intentionally control what they focus on?
I missed that. Say it one more time.
Uh-huh. What are some ways that one can intentionally control what they focus on? So, you know, you have a choice to choose what you think about. So what are some ways that you can intentionally control what you're focusing on?
I believe one of the things that is intentional helping your focus is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I believe prayer is one. And then I believe the word is number
mm-hmm.
two. Meditate in it day and night.
Yes.
And then I believe knowing who your atmosphere is to be around. I believe
mm-hmm.
all of them are important. And it will really cause your focus to be more where it should be and on more who it should be on. But you can't hang everywhere and do everything and think your focus is going to be well. You can't do it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I really believe that we're living in a time now that is so important, the prayer, the word of God, the intercession, all of that. But who you hang around, that's so important in this day and time, that you watch what you hear, watch who you listen to, watch who you take advice from. You know, that's so important in this time, because if you're hanging around the wrong person that's full of doubt, that's full of negative, that's full of, you know, a lot of the cultural things that are happening now in our society as far as
the inclusion in the hybrid mentality, this mixture that's going on. And I think Apostle Flight kind of talked about that a little bit, kind of hit just a little bit on that. All the mixture that's happening, and bringing it in the church, you see it in our society. They're including everything and saying this is holy. Everybody's God's child. Everybody's God's child. You know, you can do whatever you want to do. Live any kind of way you want to live, and you're God's child because you say you believe. No. God has always had a standard of holiness. And he has always called his people to be holy, to come out from the world. He said, we're in this world. We're not of this world. Our world is in heaven. It's from the kingdom of God. And so we're not a part of this world system. We're not supposed to be a part of this world system. We're not supposed to condone and mix in with everything that's going on. And when you see that and you're around that environment where there's inclusiveness and, you know, everything goes, and, you know, God doesn't care, you know, as long as we do this and, you know, he still accepts us how we are because he can, you know, when you're around that mindset, you begin to take on those behaviors and those characteristics. When you move farther and farther away from God, there's no separation. And so it's so important that we watch who we hang with and even tell our young people and our children and the young people, because they just go on with the flow of what's being said over the media. They're passing laws in the schools. The textbook laws, and they're passing these different things that are going on that's changing our curriculum, that's changing things in our society, that everyone's just kind of going with the flow because they're saying, well, they're passing the law, so it got to be right. But just because they pass the law doesn't mean it's acceptable to God's law. And so it's so important. It's so important that we have a standard, and that standard is the word of God, and that we live by that word. So I'm going to close out, and I'm not going to hold on tonight. I'm going to close out with a question. I want each panelist to answer this question. What scripture are you standing on to help you stay focused in such a time as this? What scripture are you standing on? Or maybe a thought, or what? It may not be a scripture, but what are you standing on that's helping you to stay focused in such a dark hour? And let's start with Dr. Kimmy Kim.
Well, I do a lot of things to stay focused. Spending time with God in the morning is important. There's something about spending time with him to start your day. Having scriptures to combat. I mean, one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8:38, and another one is Proverbs 3:5-6. Another one is John 3:16, Romans 10:9. I mean, but you can have scriptures in your bosom, but if you don't have a relationship, everything is meaningless. So the most important thing is having a relationship with God and knowing that he is listening to you, he is communing, because sometimes we do pray, but sometimes we need to allow God to speak to us as well, because sometimes we can pray so much to the point where God is speaking and we overspeak what he's saying to us. So communing is as important as praying, and, you know, being a blessing to someone, because sometimes we got to stay focused on other people. It's not about us anymore. It becomes about helping those who are in need. And so when you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you would do whatever it takes to be a blessing to someone. Just be having, you know, walking by someone and speaking is about showing someone that you actually care or you listen to them. Sometimes we can talk so much to the point where people who are trying to reach out, they get overlooked. So sometimes it's just to listen. And so those are the some things that I normally do. It's just basically I spend time with the Lord one-on-one, because some people can, you know, proclaim to be the strong believer, but who are you behind closed doors is who you really are. So maintaining a intimacy with the Lord is definitely important. So, and staying true to who you are as a person. So that would be me.
Amen. And I think that's key, that personal relationship with the Lord, because that's what he wants, and that is what is going to be the sustaining force in this sense that we need a relationship with the Lord. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask that same question to Apostle Smith.
what scripture or what are you standing on that will help you to stay focused in this hour? Because sharing that, maybe someone might be listening that needs to know, how do I stand? How do I do it? How do they do it? And so what scripture are you standing on to help you to stay focused? Apostle Smith, are you still with us? Amen. Apostle Flight, are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay. I'll go. I think we lost Apostle Smith. I think we lost him. I'm going to turn it over to you, Apostle Flight. What scripture are you standing on, or what advice would you give to someone to help them to be able to stay focused in such a dark hour?
I stand on a few scriptures. Main scripture, one of the first scriptures that I had to remember was Isaiah 54:17, for we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And I stopped it right there. It took me over to Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good of them, for those who love, those who are called according to his purpose. And then he took me back to Proverbs 3:5-6. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he shall direct your path. He didn't say he might. He didn't say he may, might, maybe, or he had to think about it. He said he shall direct your path. Doesn't matter how, if you lose focus, you can shall get back on. You shall know that all things work together. You shall know that the weapon that's formed against you, it shall not prosper. So you have to have that, not a might, not a maybe, not a possibility, but shall. We didn't never hear God say, I might do it. There's a possibility that I think about it. It shall or will be done.
Come on.
You know, that's the key word, and it came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you're faced with, you know, stay focused. Know that God, he's your Heavenly Father. He wants what's best for you, not what's left. He wants what's best.
Amen.
You can never out, never outlove him. Never outbeat him.
Amen. Amen. So amen. I totally agree. Yeah.
Spirit, you'll know, but we've got to teach you to get that into your spirit. Get with a Bible-based church. Get with some Bible-based mentors. Get with some people who really love God, not by the words that come out of their mouth, but by their actions. Get with somebody whose actions line up to what they're preaching about, because it's a sad case when you can preach about it, but you can't live about it.
Come on, man. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So that would be.
Amen. And I love those scriptures that you called out. I love them. Those are great scriptures, and I stand on a couple of those myself. At least all of them. I like those scriptures. Amen. And to add to what you just said, and I'm going to turn it into back into the hands of Apostle Whitlow, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Amen. If we keep our minds stayed on the Lord, he promised to keep us in perfect peace. And when you're in peace, hallelujah, you can walk through this. And when you're in peace and know that he is the Prince of Peace that is with you, amen, he keeps everything in perspective. He helps you to keep, amen, everything in perspective because he trusted in thee. And so I thank and I praise God for the word of God tonight. I want to say amen. I'm going to turn it back into the hands of Apostle Whitlow. I'm going to have him to give his scripture, and then he's going to close us out on tonight. Amen. I want to thank each panelist on tonight for the discussion. And truly, we pray that something was said that, amen, encourage somebody to stay focused on the Lord in Jesus' name. Apostle Whitlow, I'm going to give it to you for the closing and for your scripture and your closing remarks and close us out on tonight. Apostle
Whitlow. You know, you do have a way of trying to get away from stuff that you are called to do, but to God be the glory. Dr. Kimmy, give her a hand. She did a very good job tonight in this discussion, and we thank God for her. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Henderson. Really good job. Really good job. Great questions that are quite thought-provoking, and you are definitely appreciated. And Dr. Kimmy has left me hanging. Okay. So let me say that my scripture in particular. My scripture in particular.
You got to give me time.
You don't need that much. You quick-handed. But my scripture has always been among many. My scripture has always been 2 Timothy, the second chapter and the third verse. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And I firmly believe that if you know how to endure, it makes it easy to focus. If you don't know how to endure, then you won't know how to focus. And so that enduring really is about knowing how to put up with, knowing how to deal with, knowing how to take it. And so in order to focus, there are some things you just have to simply take. For instance, I'm going to give you this, and it might be a little comical, but, you know, I couldn't stand getting whippings, right? But I knew that when it was time to get a whooping, I was going to have to endure it. So, you know, especially when my mama told me not to make a sound. So I had to learn how to endure it. So I would focus on not making a sound, even though it hurt it. I mean, did it hurt. Lord have mercy. Because my mama was the kind of woman, bless her soul, my mama was the kind of woman that she could hit you 15,000 times in 14 seconds. You don't know how she did it, but she did it. She did it with every syllable. She did it quickly. She did it thoroughly. And she did it painfully. But she wanted you to be quiet. And so I had to focus on not making a sound while I endured getting that. And so what I'm saying is that in this life, with everything that's going on, the Bible told us that these things were going to happen. So what we have to do is learn to stay focused while enduring all the things around us and not allowing it to move us. Because I found out that when you learn to endure, it will mature you. If you learn to endure, it will mature you. It makes it easier to focus. And I'm going to leave it at that. Amen. I want to say thank God for everybody who joined in tonight. Certainly Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Thank God for him being here tonight. Thank God for Apostle Felicia Fleiss and for Dr. Kimmy Robinson and for Pastor Anna Henderson and little old me. I feel so privileged to be with all of these great, great Bible scholars and great teachers and preachers of the Bible. You know, I'm just so grateful to all of you for allowing me to share this platform with you. Amen. Really quickly, if you've been listening tonight to the Pastor's Corner and you're saying to yourself, well, I really don't know the Lord in this capacity to be able to focus on him and what he wants me to do, I want to offer Christ to you tonight because it tells me that you need to acknowledge that you need him. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. Secondly, you need to believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead according to the scripture. And finally, you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's the only way you can be saved according to the scripture. Amen. And then we need you to get into a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church where you can be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For in this day and time, you cannot live without the Holy Ghost. It is that simple. And the Holy Ghost will lead you, guide you into all truth, and keep you in such a time as this. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. Simply say, Lord God, I come to you recognizing I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. You came to save. I confess with my mouth that you were raised from the dead by God the Father. And I receive you by confessing you as Lord of my life. Take out every old way, every old thing. Live in me and do a new thing. I'm yours now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, believe it or not, you are now saved. We say welcome to the family of God.
It's going to be a transition for you to stop living the way you have been living. But if you make an effort, I promise you God will be with you and he will help you all the way. Now, listen, again, we need you to get into a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that will teach you what is right and help you to do what is right according to the Word of God. And you might say, well, I'm in an area, but I don't know anybody. I just moved to this area. I don't know no church or anything, so how do I know? Well, here's what you can do. On Facebook, you can reach out to the Pastor's Corner. I guarantee you that we have connections wherever you may be, from the north to the south, from the east to the west. Even if you are in a third world country, we've got some connections somehow that we can get you into the right type of ministry that will help you to grow in God. Amen. And that is that. Well, listen, we are excited again about you joining us on next Thursday. It is the third Thursday, and it's ladies' night. And so the ladies are going to have some things to share with you, and we don't want you to miss it because we know it's going to be good. All right? So you don't want to miss the Pastor's Corner on next Thursday night. All right? So we say, listen, have a great night. Have a great weekend. Continue to be prayerful. Continue to stay with God, knowing that if you go with God, that he will and he will go with you. On this coming Saturday at 3 p.m., it is Shabbat Saturdays with Apostle Westbrook, Apostle Don Westbrook. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Apostle P. Don Westbrook. She will be on, and then at 10 p.m. on this same station, you will find Making Marriage Meaningful with yours truly. Oh, we're going to talk about some stuff, and you don't want to miss it because it's real, it's raw, it's relevant. In Jesus' name. And then, of course, Tuesday, you'll be back on with The Voice with Apostle Vincent L. Smith. These are the things that are going on a regular basis and things that you can partake of here with Elation Radio. All right, so we thank God for you. We say have a great night. Dr. Kimmy is in your hands. We need you to drop that track. Good night, everybody. Shalom, shalom.
She had a dream that she could do it. How she lost her way and didn't stick to it. She wanted the house, the cars, the money. She did all that she could. In her mind, she was so focused. Doing overtime in the diner. Just wanted someone to wine and dine her. She didn't believe in herself.
Believe in yourself. You can do it. Believe in yourself. Ain't nothing to yourself.
Believe in yourself. Even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself,
even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. She was diagnosed with cancer. Going to the doctor for some answers. They said she wouldn't make it, she couldn't take it. She did all that she could. Getting sick from the chemo. Bank account started looking real low. She knew she could make it, she wouldn't take it. She believed in herself.
Believe in yourself. You can do it. Believe in yourself. Ain't nothing to yourself.
Believe in yourself. Even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself,
even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
You can make it.
Let nobody tell you that you can when you can.